This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Every time you go away.
We are back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. This is a big weekend in St. Louis sports. The Pujols game tonight, and then Saturday night at Worldwide Technology Raceway, the NASCAR trucks will be in action. Joining us is their general manager, Chris Blair. Chris, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Now I'm hungry after listening to your show. Oh, we've had bologna sandwiches and Taco Bell all week because we're busy getting ready. So when you come over, Frank, be sure to bring something from the fridge.
Yeah, just tell your friends, your wife's, you know, a little bit under the weather.
See, Frank's not even married. That's what's weird about this.
All right, give us an idea, just raw speed and power and what's going to be going on inside these trucks over the weekend.
Well, the great thing about the NASCAR Truck Series, if you're familiar with NASCAR in general, the trucks are probably the most difficult trucks to drive, the vehicles to drive in all racing. They have high horsepower, low downforce. These guys really have to wrestle these things around the racetrack. So, you know, the straightaways, they're doing 170 miles an hour, and then all with an average speed of around 135, 140 all the way around the place. And, you know, with our track, it's unique. You can't just, you know, mash the gas to the floor and go. You have to really finesse your way around this racetrack. And it provides some great racing. We've been working on the facility, on the groove, prepping the track, adding some more rubber to it to prep for these guys so that when they come in, they can run all the way up top or all the way on the bottom. So we always have really good racing action, and I think with the work we've put into the track this year, there's going to be some great stuff going on. And we've been noticing the last few weeks, it seems like the tempers have been flaring somewhat with this series. A lot of drivers are beating and banging with one another. We've had some drama in the garage area, and as we've seen in the past, it all comes to a head at Gateway, and now here we are, Worldwide Technology Raceway. We've got these guys coming in with Brett Moffitt with a chance to win a $250,000 bonus. Some of the other drivers have a shot at $50,000 extra, so it's going to be one of those where anything can happen, and it should be a really great show.
Chris, I think in the past, some of the drivers, you know, young and up and coming, would go through the truck series and kind of try and move on to NASCAR's top rung, whatever you want to call it, but I feel like that's shifted where the truck guys, a lot of them, that's their thing, and they become sort of experts in that field. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it's an interesting mix. You've got some veteran drivers, such as Matt Crafton, who's a multi-time champion, has never been able to win here. I know he's on a mission to win this race, but you also have a lot of the young lions, too, the young guns coming up through the field, so it provides an interesting mix for the show. But we do have some really talented guys this year. Brett Moffitt, who won last year's championship. And again, Matt Crafton coming back. There's some of the younger drivers that are in this program now. And just about anything could happen. And, you know, the great thing, too, we also have the ARCA Menard Series that's going to be running before this. And that's another one of those stepping stones. And there's one driver, Christian Eckes, who races for Kyle Busch Motorsports and for Joe Gibbs, that he's going to try to do both. He's going to run the ARCA race for Joe Gibbs's team. And he's going to take about a 45-minute break, change driving suits, and get ready, and he's going to go out and run in the NASCAR Truck Series for Kyle Busch. So watching him do both is going to be just spectacular, because that's going to be a lot of work on a Saturday night for sure.
And the cash will be flowing this weekend. In addition to the regular purse, $50,000 bonus money at stake also?
Yep, $50,000 bonus. The folks at Gander Outdoors, as part of a Triple Truck Challenge program they put together for three tracks, with us being the final stop on this tour, just as an incentive program for these drivers, is an additional challenge just to promote good hard racing in the middle of the season. And we were doing that so that it would showcase St. Louis. We presented this proposal to NASCAR, Curtis and I, when we were down in Florida last year. We presented the proposal. NASCAR ran with it. Gander Outdoors jumped on it. And it's really taken on life on its own. It's produced some really good racing the last two races. It kicked off at Texas. Last week at Iowa, there was some great racing and some controversy. And now here it comes into Gateway, or Worldwide Technology Raceway. And it should be another good show. These guys, basically it doubles what they normally would win. And for a lot of these drivers, that extra $50,000, they may be using that to take the next step in their career as well, to help finance the ride in the Xfinity Series or one of the other programs.
And, Chris, where do people get tickets last minute? It's you know, you probably don't want to show up at the track without them, I would guess. What's the best idea here at this point?
Well, you can go to WWTRaceway.com and purchase online, but we do have plenty of ticket booths available at the track. And we're prepared that if people decide last minute they want to come out, we're ready for them. We've got our ticket staff is ready. If people want to come out this afternoon, we're going to be here until 5 o'clock selling tickets. And, you know, there's plenty of great seats available. One of the great things about this is it's a full-day show. We have, as I was saying earlier, you get to see all the practice. You can watch qualifying. You have the two races that night. We also have the Rumble before the Roar kickoff party. So if you like beer, it's a great party to go to. It's $30, and you get a souvenir cup, and for 4 hours you just keep filling that cup. So we really promote having a good time here at the racetrack. So that's when, you know, people can come on over and just take it all in. And the one thing we want to push too, a lot of folks, I've had a few folks call and say, well, it's supposed to be hot tomorrow. Well, the great thing about this is the ARCA race takes off, the green flag on that is at 6:45. This year the NASCAR truck race starts at 9 o'clock, and we did that at the request of the fans who wanted to see a little later start time. So it'll actually be 9 o'clock when that goes green. And the race should be wrapping up around 10:30, 10:45, so plenty of time for everybody to get home. You know, we've been working hard on all of our inbound and outbound traffic, and usually for this race we can have the parking lot free-flowing within 20 to 30 minutes. So, you know, there's no reason to stay home and sit on the couch. It's all about getting out and having some fun on a great summer night.
Good stuff. Chris, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, guys. Thank you, and have a good one.
All right, we'll see Chris Blair this weekend at a Worldwide Technology Raceway. Hey, Lakeside Roofing, established in 1972, has a solid reputation for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800. And in Missouri, call 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com.
I should give a game ball a little early, not the end of the show, but a game ball to Plowsy because he's doing the work of two people. Hoff, of course, has his feet up in Hawaii tweeting negative things, sarcastic things about the Cardinals, which we would never do on this show. And meanwhile, with no producer, Plowsy, if we had the visual here, he's running back and forth between the booth. Yeah, look at this. This is the radio combine that we're witnessing. Darren Atkins, everybody, is back in the studio. Is our guest ready to go?
He's ready.
And with that, we welcome in the Cardinals team president, Bill DeWitt III. Bill, how are you?
Good. How's it going, guys?
We are good. Give us an idea tonight how you approach it. He's an iconic player. Obviously, now he's on the other team. And are there any kind of parameters there as to what you can do? Because it's still a competition, I understand that, but how do you guys approach it?
Well, I don't think from a Cardinal standpoint we have to do much. I think it's going to be one of those things that just happens in the course of the game. I'm sure Yachty's going to fake a terminal illness or something for about, you know, quite a bit. You know, he likes to give guys their due, and the Cardinals fans always respond, so... it'll be a warm welcome for Albert and certainly very well deserved, in my opinion.
So since there's not going to be any ceremony, you know, before the game, it's not like Albert's retiring. We hear Tony's going to be there. Walt's going to be there. Do you know anybody else, former teammates or other interesting people in the stands tonight?
Not that I've heard. Those are the ones that I've heard. And, you know, it'll be fun to have those guys back and, you know, it's, you know, of course, we've played the Angels a few times out there. It's just we haven't done it back at home with Albert. So it'll be that moment that people have been waiting for a long time to thank Albert for his career here.
Have you gotten a sense, Bill, in terms of, like, when these tickets sold, like they were more in demand or they went quicker? Any indication of that?
Oh, gosh. I mean, at the beginning of the year, you know, before the season even started, we have a feel for the strongest homestands on the ticket sales analysis, and you know your Cubs home weekends in the summer are always the big ones, and then this one was right up there like a Cubs weekend.
Hey, Bill, how do you remember that time period when it became official that Albert was signing with the Angels? Take us through where you were. John Mozeliak has talked about it, how he got on a plane right away, but what about yourself? How do you remember it, you and your father?
Well, it was weird because we had won the World Series, and we had you know, you're celebrating, you're excited, you kind of feel like everything's in the right place from a baseball standpoint. But, you know, pretty quickly thereafter, you know, Tony retires, and then the whole Albert situation kind of escalates to, you know, that issue. So it was, you know, it was difficult, I think, particularly for my father, who just really wanted to see Albert finish his career as a Cardinal and pushed a little beyond, well, a lot beyond his comfort level to try to make it happen anyway.
Yeah, and that's what I think stands out. A lot of people are on, you know, what side are you on? I think 8 years later, I don't really care anymore, but some people still debate it. I think what you guys have been both lauded and criticized for is being pretty smart about how you do business and pragmatic at times. Yet in that window there, maybe late in that window of that offseason, the sense and even the reporting was that your dad was the one who said, this is different, and maybe was willing to do more than normally would do, you know, in terms of Cardinal business.
Yeah, I mean, look, we were pretty advanced with our analytics back then relative to other clubs. And the, I mean, let's face it, we value the player's future performance. That's what all teams are doing now. And the offer went well beyond the best analysts' informed guess of what that value was. But, you know, there's more than just dollars and cents and hits and home runs. I mean, there's aspects of the franchise that are very important, too. And that was certainly, in Albert's case, a significant factor.
Yeah, because here in St. Louis, we missed like 500, 600, base hit number 3,000 and things like that. But, and I know you want to be as positive as possible with Albert in town, it's kind of worked out for both groups, correct?
Yeah, it's hard to say how history would have been different if he had stayed. You know, I'd like to think he would have maybe played better or whatever with us, just given the comfort and things like that. But you never know. I do know we went on to almost win the World Series again in 13, got all the way there. Kind of ran into a hot Boston team at the end. But, you know, some of the things that we ended up doing, Beltran and Yachty's extension, Waino's extension, you know, I just don't know how many of those we could have done. So, yeah, I think it's hard to say any one deal couldn't have been done or something, but it was a situation that we went in another direction, and our team was very competitive after he left.
Bill DeWitt, the third Cardinals team president here on 590, Martin and Frank with you, Hollywood Casino Press Box. Bill, on a different matter, in terms of returns or celebrations, I'm assuming at some point there'll be a Blues night, or I don't know that the Cup will make it to Busch. What are you hearing, and what are you guys working on in terms of celebrating the Blues? And for those who don't know, many do, you're a passionate hockey fan, a big-time Blues fan. What plans are in store for that franchise?
Well, it's funny you ask, because we've been asking the Blues, and they've been very cordial and nice about it. But they're like, well, we're still working out the schedule. You know, we got there's a lot of claims on that cup the next few weeks. But we I think we're going to try to get a night at the ballpark with the cup. And but stay tuned. We haven't locked it down yet. But, it was a great run. It was really fun. I just keep thinking what a great thing it was for the city, because there's nothing like sports and a hot team to get pull people together. And in the Blues case, so much pent up, you know, emotion from so many years. And, you know, I looked around, I went to a bunch of those games, and there were a lot of people, you know, just one generation above me who had been doing this since the beginning. You know, I mean, they'd 52 years of waiting to see this. And for those people, and for those just waiting 20 years, I mean, it was a long wait, and this sense of relief and justification and redemption, I don't know what you call it, but it was really cool.
Bill, I can remember texting a week ago today with Chris Zimmerman, the president of the Blues, and trying to find out about if this parade is going to happen, because I kept telling him, you know, it's going to be a lot of rain on Saturday. And then he said, did you see what happened at Busch Stadium at Game 7? People are willing to sit through rain. That was an amazing thing, wasn't it? I mean, people were out there in the rain just watching a game on the big screen.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, and it just so happened that I think the rain started coming pretty heavy towards the end of the first period. And, you know, the Blues were on like a push, and then they did score right at the end of the first, and – people just didn't even move into the concourse. They were just absolutely so excited, and it was, it almost kind of made it an even more fun event. It kind of reminds me of the Metallica concert a little bit. The people that went to that said that the rain and the mist almost made it an even better show.
Huh.
Yeah, and I remember your dad, front row at Metallica. I'll never forget seeing that.
In a black T-shirt.
How did it come about, Bill? Because, I mean, it was a great idea, but do you call the blues? Do they call you guys? Who plants that seed?
Well, the blues, Chris kind of texted me, and he said, would you guys be interested in perhaps an overflow watch party situation, because we're going to obviously do it in the Enterprise Center. And so then I called him back, and we talked it through, and it was a quick turnaround for us, because the other thing is their experience with the Market Street watch parties was good but not great in terms of just fans being able to view the screens. It was overcrowded, maybe not the most organized as far as, you know, nobody's fault, but just you're out on a street. So we felt the Bush was probably the best bet if there was going to be a big overflow attendance, and in terms of safety, organization, et cetera. And so I got to credit our team and Matt Gifford and the ops team and everybody, Vicky Bryant, the special events team, for pulling it together really quickly. We were a little short on staff because of everything else going downtown. There was a concert, Fish concert, the Blues Watch party, et cetera. But they pulled it off. We pulled it off, and we're really kind of proud of having been able to do that and be part of it.
Bill, great stuff. We appreciate your time. Oh, one more thing.
I want to remind everybody, next Wednesday, we had Will in studio, and we're usually spending his trust money. Frank's signing free agents all the time. But Will is actually doing a great thing. It's at the Sheldon Concert Hall next Wednesday. It's the second annual St. Louis Sound Competition, and Bill and I were both there last year. And I got to say, it's really a cool event. If you like music, if you like the Sheldon, it's a fundraiser. But remind everybody what's taking place.
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, we're proud of him. He kind of took on this idea. We should do like a local kind of thing, you know, like America's Got Talent or American Idol kind of thing. And, you know, Martin helped us last time. I'm seeing he's going to do it again, so thank you for that. But it's really just a fun thing. I mean, it's amazing how much talent is out there. And people that have these original songs, they don't necessarily have venues. I mean, they post them and they put them online, but this is a way for them to sort of compete against each other and to have judges. And it's just really a neat thing. It seems like every city should do it in a way. But I'm looking forward to it. Like 75 submissions this year, which like triple from last year, and it seems like the momentum's going. So we're excited about next Wednesday night. Hopefully everybody turns out.
Yeah, and the range of music. And the winning band was sort of like a jazz fusion, but we had heard, I think there was a brother-sister folk rock duo. There was hip-hop. I mean, it really covers whatever type of music you like. It covers all ranges.
Absolutely, yeah. It's an eclectic mix, let's just put it that way. And some of it was, whether it was your style or not, though, it was very impressive to see these people who, you know, aren't stars yet, you know, laying it all out there with an original. You know, it's not like cover stuff. So it's really intriguing in that respect. It's fun. People show up on Wednesday.
And this is how committed Bill is to this event, but also the Blues. We were originally doing this, and it would have been the night, I believe, of Game 5 in Boston. So we said, this is crazy. Let everybody enjoy the hockey. This event is next Wednesday at the Sheldon Concert Hall, right there off of Grand. It's St. Louis Sound Competition. Come join us. It's a lot of fun. Bill and I will be wearing our Metallica shirts. Just go to thesheldon.org, and you can click on upcoming events. Help us raise a little money that night. Plus, it's really a cool venue, thesheldon.org. Bill, we'll see you there.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bill, Frank's picturing both me, Bill the Third, and now Bill Jr. wearing a black Metallica shirt.
How about Martin giving us that music knowledge there for a little bit?
I was a little jazz fusion.
I wanted Bill to respond like Hal Holbrook. No, not really, but he kind of went along with it. So
no, they're real. I know I'm just people. Oh, you're just shilling for the event. It actually is a cool. Have you been to the Sheldon in a long time?
It's been a while.
It's maybe not on par with the Ryman. I understand that, but it's sort of our version. It's a really old theater. And it's right behind St. Louis U and all of that. So good event. Join us next Wednesday.
All right, good job, Martin.
Yes.
And I will not be in the green seat sitting with Bill tonight, in case you're wondering.
Folks, if he's front row for the Blues.
It's a little concerned that Martin's a little in bed here with this DeWitt organization. They're doing a great job. This team will rally, probably win the division, and what make a World Series
you
run.
You came in here, by the way, Posse, with some keys for Martin. What is this about?
Okay. One of the kids needed to get something out of my car, so I needed Plowsy mid-interview. This guy really is getting his game ball today.
Boy, I tell you.
He had to run out and hit the unlock button, and he got to check out the rearview camera.
It's no worries. I like the gold-plated handle that you put on your vehicle. It's very nice.
Lies. Very nothing nice. But lies.
All right, before we go to break, quick word about Maryville. Was with Lonnie Folks yesterday, their outstanding athletic director, and with Mark Stricker, their outstanding basketball coach. Mark's had a really terrific recruiting class, got a couple of fine players in from Sykeston. They had a terrific year a couple of years ago. Their baseball finished with a bang. Their golf was outstanding. Their soccer is great. Maryville.edu is the place to go. We'll be right back.